Let's read again at Acts chapter 11 and verses. Verse 19. That's 11, verse 19. So it says, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord." As a congregation, we're about to go through a bit of an upheaval. We will, when we finally get everything in place for doing the refurbishment in Kyle, obviously have to change the way we're worshipping for a time, where we're worshipping, and obviously things will change about the layout of the church and so on. And it's an opportunity. And I want to just think about taking that opportunity tonight a little. But I'm not really going to say much about the work in Kyle or what's planned, but just really to think about how changes are opportunities. This story in Acts chapter, well, in the book of Acts really is a wonderful story. In this story in Acts chapter 11 that we've just read, verse 19 to 21, is a heartwarming story. It should quicken the pulse of every Christian person, every young person, every man or woman who loves Jesus. Because we go from a situation where there are perhaps no Christians in Antioch. Antioch was a great city, about 300 miles north of Jerusalem, and in what we'd call today Syria. And we go from a situation where that city doesn't know about Jesus to a situation where there's this great number of people, as verse 21 says, believing and turning to the Lord, and a vibrant international church is established there. So let me ask you a couple of questions as we begin. First of all, were the people in verse 21 who believed in Jesus and turned to him and received eternal life, were they glad that they'd been told about Jesus? What's your thoughts about that? Were they glad that they'd been told about Jesus? It says a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Were they glad that they'd been told about the Lord? Were they glad? A similar question is this. If you in this community tell about Jesus just the way the people in Antioch were doing, the Christians that went to Antioch were doing, if you tell people in this community about Jesus and they believe and turn to the Lord, will they be glad that you told them about Jesus? Will they be glad? Well, think about that. Why was it that the people in Antioch heard about Jesus? Well, it was because those who told them, those who went to Antioch and told them about Jesus, had been forced to leave their homes in Jerusalem. And they'd been forced to leave their homes, as verse 19 says, by persecution. The persecution that arose in connection with Stephen that we read about back in chapters 6 and 7 and 8. They were forced by a very unpleasant and unwelcome experience, the experience of persecution, to leave Jerusalem. And they wound up eventually in Antioch, and that's why they told people, because they were in Antioch on account of persecution. And so the people who heard about Jesus and became Christians there, and as it says, they were the verse 26 there, they were called Christians for the first time in history at Antioch. These people who became Christians, were they glad that they'd been told about Jesus? Well, of course they were, but they'd been told about Jesus because of persecution. because the people who told them had been forced to leave where they'd chosen to settle in Jerusalem and to find a new home. So was the persecution a good thing? Like, if it resulted in something that lots of people in Antioch were very glad of, that is, they heard about Jesus and received eternal life, was the persecution that led them to hear about Jesus a good thing? Well, no, persecution is never a good thing, but nevertheless, God overruled the persecution, didn't he? He made it a good thing by bringing a good result out of it. Was the persecution necessary? Well, possibly, in a sense, it was, because Jesus, right at the beginning of the book of Acts, he tells the church, now, I'm about to ascend to heaven, and here's what you've got to do. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea, which is the surrounding countryside, and in Samaria, which is the next bit up to the north, where the Samaritans live, and their enemies, and to the ends of the earth, which is everywhere else. That's your job, church, Jesus says, is to tell about me everywhere, to the ends of the earth. But what had actually happened was the Christians in Jerusalem had stayed in Jerusalem. They were doing the first bit. They were being witnesses to Jesus in Jerusalem. And then they kind of exhausted that and they kind of just settled down to being a church in Jerusalem, comfortable with themselves and keeping the gospel to themselves. They weren't doing what Jesus told them to do at all. So the persecution was God's way of forcing them out from their comfort in Jerusalem to share the good news in Judea and Samaria and Antioch and to the ends of the earth. So, what is in this story for us? Well, let's hear about the story first of all. Let's go over it again. What happens is that they're persecuted. So, they have to leave Jerusalem. These Christians, they have to leave Jerusalem. Now, what happens is they go and on their journeys, they travel to find somewhere else to settle. But because they're Christians, they've got a story to tell. And it's a story of Jesus. They've been with Jesus. They've seen Jesus. They've seen him crucified. They've seen him rise from the dead. They've got a great story to tell. And they've got a story to tell about God's forgiveness and about how you can get eternal life. And so they don't keep it to themselves. They just talk about it the way that you and I might talk about the weather. Except they get much more excited about it than we get about the weather because it's a much more exciting story. But they're going around, scattered from Jerusalem, telling people about Jesus. Now notice that, of course, what they're doing is telling people about Jesus anywhere. They're not doing it just in a building like this. They're not doing it in a church. Remember that for the first 300 years of the church's history, there were no churches. There were no church buildings, that is. Because Rome didn't allow the building of churches, the Roman authorities. So they weren't telling people about Jesus in a building like a church. Not only that, it wasn't like what I'm doing just now. It was like often it was just one-to-one. So a Christian would be maybe doing business in the market with someone else and they'd get talking, and the Christian would say, well, you know, I used to live in Jerusalem, but I've had to leave Jerusalem, and here's why. And they'd tell about Stephen, and they'd tell about what happened with Stephen, and then they'd tell about why Stephen was persecuted, and about Jesus. And it was a story. It was just a straightforward story about what was happening down in Jerusalem and what had happened in recent history. And just one-to-one, people were telling the story. And again, notice, it wasn't like just the leaders. It wasn't the ministers, if you like. It was just ordinary Christian people, men and women, young people, whatever they were, just telling the story. Just ordinary people. No training, no special qualifications. Just ordinary people telling the story. So as it says, those that have been persecuted, verse 19, and were scattered. They travelled telling the message, only to Jews, some of them, but some began to speak to non-Jews, to Greeks, telling them the good news about Jesus. And they're just ordinary people, ordinary Christians, one-to-one often, wherever they happen to be, not in a church building. And they're telling it to people who've never heard about Jesus. And just haven't heard a thing. They're, 300 miles is a long way from Jerusalem. In those days, if they have heard about Jesus, it's only maybe just little dribs and drabs. But they've never heard someone just tell them so personally about Jesus and about what he can do. So Jews and Greeks up in Antioch are hearing this news from these persecuted Christians who are trying to settle now in Antioch. And what happens is, verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them, Jesus' hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to Jesus. And no doubt they were amazed at that. They were amazed at how the church just grew out of the Jewish and Gentile people in Antioch, out of nothing. As just as they chatted to them in the marketplace, or chatted to them in their new homes or in their neighbourhoods or whatever, because Jesus' hand was with them. Exciting, as I say, a heartwarming and thrilling story, but it's got a lot to challenge us with. Not so long ago in this part of the world, people here, they thought that everyone in our community knew what the gospel was. If you were maybe 50 years ago in this village or in Kyle or whatever, you probably thought that the people who lived in the village, they knew basically what the story of the Christian faith was and who Jesus was and what the gospel was. You would pretty much assume that, because you would know that they would be hearing it in school. You would know that they'd be taught it often very thoroughly daily in school. And you would know as well that many of them went to one church or another, and they also heard the story there. Pretty much everyone would be brought up in church to some extent. So what happened was Christians became accustomed to thinking that pretty much everyone that they rubbed shoulders with knew what the gospel was, and that they didn't really therefore need to explain what the gospel was to them, and that the job of telling the gospel was the job of the ministers. That was their job, and that the place to tell the gospel was from the pulpit. So that's the mindset that there was in the community, just a few decades ago, probably even to some extent when I first came here as minister. You'd think, well, most people know what the gospel is, so there's not much point in us telling them what the gospel is, because they know what it is already, we'll let the professional do it, the minister. It's his job on a Sunday, and most people here, most people go to church one way or another. From time to time, they'll hear the minister explain the gospel, and it's up to them what they do with it. It's not really up to the ordinary Christians so much, it's up to the minister. Now, I wonder if any of you think that still today. Is there anything still in our minds that kind of still hangs on to that kind of thinking? Because it's not the way things were thought in Antioch, is it? It was very, very different there. Just really, really different. For a start, the community didn't know about Jesus at all. And there were no church buildings or pulpits or ministers. It was just ordinary Christians telling others about Jesus who'd never heard before. And maybe we're getting more back to that situation in our community today. And maybe what we're planning in terms of the refurbishment of the church in Kyle is an opportunity for us to think about how we think about telling Jesus to the community, and to maybe start thinking about it more in terms of what was happening at Antioch than in terms of what happened here 50 years ago. To think about that telling people about Jesus is primarily something we do outside of buildings. It's not a building thing. We do it in the building we call the church. But we can also do it in the building we call the co-op. Or we could do it on the street, or when we're playing bowls, or whatever it happens to be, you know. That is something we can do anywhere. And not only that, something we should do anywhere. So then we think, well, then it doesn't need a building, and it doesn't need a pulpit. There were no pulpits in Antioch. You know, we get away from that thinking that says it's about pulpits and ministers and buildings. But we get to a place where in our thinking it's about you. Every day, wherever you are. It's about me. It's about all the elders, the deacons, those who are members in the church, but even those who are not, if they have a personal faith with Jesus, telling others about him. Young people at school, old people, people at work, people when they're socializing, people when they're going about their daily business. It's about us all doing what they did in Antioch. Just talking about the story of Jesus. And it's for us to realise that many in our community will be glad if we do that. Just as people in Antioch were glad who became Christians and received forgiveness and eternal life and hope. Because Antioch, like the rest of the Roman world, was a very hopeless place. There wasn't much hope going around in the Roman Empire. There was very, very little hope. And the Christians brought hope. And real solid hope, that you could know that because of this thing that had happened at Jerusalem, Jesus being crucified and rising from the dead, it was possible for people to have a life that was beyond death, and a life that would ultimately participate with Jesus in resurrection and new creation. Fantastic hope. So many in our community will be glad if our thinking is consistently that, well, we've got good news. And it's our job as individual Christians to just tell the story, wherever we are. It's not the minister's job, although it's his job as well. It's everyone else's job. Because maybe, because of the way things were in the past, we're a bit like the Christians who were stuck in Jerusalem. They didn't realize it, but they'd stopped obeying Jesus. They'd had a great mission in Jerusalem. You know, thousands of people became Christians in Jerusalem. But then Jesus had said, Acts 1 verse 8, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And they weren't doing that bit. And something was needed to shake them out of Jerusalem with the gospel, and with the gospel on their tongues. And maybe, you know, refurbishing the church, although we hope is a positive thing from the physical point of view of improving the amenity of the building, maybe also it's a chance for us just to reassess our own thinking about what our duty is as Christians. You know, we're getting rid of the pulpit, for example. Well, you know, we're not going to think that it's just the minister's job from a pulpit to tell others about Jesus. It's everyone's job, and it's not just in a building. It's everywhere. And perhaps refurbishing the church is in some small way a way, an opportunity for us to get back to thinking the way they were thinking here in Acts chapter 11 in Antioch. It may also be an opportunity for Plot, and I mean, we haven't as a Kirk session yet decided where the services will be held when we're out of the Kyle building for a time while the work's being done. Maybe that could be, for example, that the morning service would be held here, which would be an opportunity for us to have Sunday school here, as we normally do, and to therefore invite the children of Plockton, their families. Could be a really positive opportunity for the congregation here in Plockton. So there's lots of potential opportunities that we should look for and think about. And maybe too, just for us to realise that, you know, we're not in that situation anymore where people know what the gospel is. And I know that from being in the schools, for example, being in Plockton in primary school, doing assemblies. And you ask children questions, and the answer they give show that some of them just don't know a thing about Jesus. And that's because they're in families that don't know a thing about Jesus. There are a lot of people like that now, just like there were in Antioch, which is a fantastic opportunity to tell the story to them. And they're not going to hear it with the sort of prejudices people had in the past. They're going to hear it just as starting with a blank sheet, really. And so we've got an opportunity. Maybe then we can try to really gain a clear sight of what speaking the word, telling the good news about Jesus actually means. It's not just then the minister from the pulpit in a church service. And I have to confess, sometimes ministers have made it harder for the rest of the people to tell the good news, because ministers maybe sometimes use language that you just can't use out in the street. You know, I try myself to speak plainly. I want you to be able to say what I say in the pulpit, when you're in the co-op. I don't want it to involve big words that people in the co-op won't understand, or that will involve so many assumptions about how much they know when they really don't know very much at all. So we try to keep it really, really simple, because that's what they're doing in Antioch. They're just simply telling a story, and they're telling a story about Jesus, who he was, what he did, how he's alive again after dying on the cross. And they talked about him in the same matter-of-fact way that they talk about anything else, just with the same language. Except that the Lord was with them and it was dynamite. A couple of weeks ago was Easter Sunday, and I was challenged by a little story that Stevie Boyle told on the Sunday evening service across in Killaken. He spoke about a man in Glasgow whom he'd met. And the man said to Stevie one day, he said, "Before I became a Christian," he said, "I knew the cracks in the pavement better than I knew the buildings in Glasgow." And what Stevie said, it's because he was always looking down. He was hopeless. Nothing to live for before he'd met Jesus Christ. And instead of having his head up and looking around, he was always just down in the dumps, looking at the cracks in the pavement. And I was challenged by that, because there are a lot of people looking at the cracks in the pavement in La Halche. A lot of really hopeless people. And it's a challenge for us just to do what they did in Antioch and just tell them about Jesus. Because it's our job as the church. Jerusalem, that's like the way it was 50 years ago, when everyone in the locality maybe knew what the gospel was, but no longer. Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It's a challenge for us to reach people in our community who really are without any knowledge of hope through Jesus, to tell them. So it's a challenge to me as well to lift my own eyes up, because I know that life is busy, and it's busy for you and it's busy for me, and sometimes it's so busy that we've got our heads down. Maybe our heads are just looking at our phones or our screens, or maybe they're just, you know, for me, looking at administration or, you know, politics or denominational issues or keeping the show on the road or that sort of thing, and it just gets to be a bit of a grind sometimes. And these are the problems of the cracks in the pavement, the problems of Jerusalem, not of getting the good news out to the community. The problems of a church that isn't looking at Antioch, isn't looking at the needs beyond itself. The growth of earlier days, even in my own ministry, has certainly slowed up. And it's very easy for me and for us to be inward looking and stagnate. The Lord acted to thrust them out of Jerusalem. And maybe this simple act of refurbishing the church will thrust us out in a new way with our gospel to tell the people around us, because it's not about a building or a pulpit or a minister. It's about good news, and good news can be told anywhere, and you can tell it. You can be confident to tell it too. And the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The church, it changes like it did when it got thrust out of Jerusalem and started telling the story everywhere else, as a church that grows. And may that be us in the months ahead, as we take the opportunity we have coming, and just as we, as individual Christians, see what our mission is again, and not in light of what it was in the past and how things were in the past, but in light of the difficult reality we face today of a secular Scotland and a secular community that is really starting from stage one and from basics and finding out about who Jesus is again. What a great opportunity for us to tell them, for you and me to tell them, and to see the Lord's hand working again as people believe and turn to him and find hope once again. Amen.